Welcome, Pathfolk, to the Find the Path Ventures actual play of the War for the Crown Adventure Path.
Proudly sponsoring Market Day here in Voyneris, we promise this time nothing will go wrong.
Hey. Don't say this.
Well, we don't know if anything's gone wrong in Voyneris. Like, we know that it went wrong at Bartleby's.
We are 2 for 2 on going to parties and things go wrong. I mean, granted, the last one wasn't as bad because there was only an attempted assassination.
Yeah, that was, I think, the only thing that technically went wrong,
and
although...
It's one of those rules in tabletop RPGs. If adventurers get on a boat, horrible things happen. If adventurers go to any kind of party, terrible things happen.
And despite being nobility, we have been labeled with the dreaded adventurer label.
We have main character syndrome because we're actually the main characters.
Oh man, TTRPG main character syndrome is actually a bad
Felix,
thing.
Can you cast remove disease, please?
I could try.
I think we're getting rid of this main character syndrome.
Maybe it's more of a curse, actually.
Main character curse, maybe.
The main
I
character
don't know.
Curse, yeah. Yeah.
But we are the main characters, which... In a tabletop RPG, which means if we get on a boat, we're going to get attacked by a dragon turtle or whatever it is in Pathfinder land. If we get...
Hey, okay, hey,
that
you're
happened
in Merritt
one
County.
Time.
It's going to be the general here.
Yeah.
Giant catfish attacks you.
I'm just
I was
going to
say, Rick even like put that out there, right? Like he seeded that a while back. So the general and us are going to have a fight.
We are at a festival and we are the main characters. Something bad is gonna happen. It could be as minor as, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, it can be anywhere from 1 to 10, but it's still bad.
He rolls a d10, he rolls a 1, and it's, they ran out of ale before noon. And everybody's
Oh no, there's no ice for my margarita.
There's no ice for everyone's
mimosas. This is terrible.
That's a huge problem.
The local winemakers guild and the local vinegar guild both had people call in sick, so they need replacements for the tug of war that they do every year over a vat of wine.
Ooh, I'd do that. That sounds fun.
That's a waste of perfectly good wine. Do it over the vinegar.
Let's go. Do it over the vinegar.
Oh, God.
That really gets people motivated. To not be pulled into that.
They rotate every other year. One year it's wine, the next year it's vinegar. This is just a wine year.
It's just a wine year.
Or it's a cask. They've just put a barrier in the very center of it, and so like each side falls into the other side, so the vinegar people pull people into vinegar, and the wine people pull people into wine. I definitely want to be on the vinegar team
vinegar. If that's the case.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, I've lost. Then I fall into the wine.
Oh, no, how decadent.
Yeah. Throw more gold at them. More gold. Yeah, so welcome back, everyone, to the continued exploits of our heroes, the Knights of Summer. Our main characters, if you will. When last we had left our heroes, the party had left their beautiful estate of Swanmere, the former Bettany Manor, to make their way to the town of Voyneris so they can attend the Market's Door Festival and have an opportunity to smooze and hang out with and hopefully influence the Baroness Voynum. Whom is, one, their local baroness, so the person a step above them, and two, one of the various targets that they had hoped to influence in Merritt County, that they had not yet had the opportunity to completely finish influencing, as they had
we
managed
to
get...
We got her to from indifferent.
She's fine.
Indifferent. She's indifferent. She doesn't despise our presence.
She's like, you guys are okay.
Yeah, they're all right.
Everyone else really likes us.
Yeah,
even Bartleby really likes us.
Even Bartleby.
The final hold down.
But yeah, you had made your way out from your town, had traveled across the face of Merritt County, stopping briefly in Lothadar to make some purchases, particularly a horse for Cornelius.
Important purchase. Most important purchase.
And stopped by the Lake Stavian, sat on the shore, done a little picnic, and identified some magical items, which have proven that, one, God's Spear is a phenomenal weapon. Is a phenomenal weapon as far as that goes. And
I'm very happy.
Two, you managed to identify the traits of the Coriana's Blade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also fantastic weapon.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal sword.
I mean, it's a relic weapon, so it's going to be
Gwen's not
better.
Spending gold on upgrading weapons the rest of the AP, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? Good for you.
I mean, unless you feel like you need a backup or something like that. And a +1 dagger.
I mean, why not?
You always want a dagger.
What if you're swallowed whole by the By the general, yeah.
And then I fought my way out with my dagger.
I turned it into
the general will be voiced by Narmer, by the
way. Flies out of the water. Hey, guys! Oh,
and then just jumps in the direction of the wall.
Deeper Narmer.
Yeah.
Deeper Narmer.
Are you shavers? Because you have to tell me if you're shavers. Pulls you into the water. But yes, you'd arrived in Voneris and had found it to be an extraordinarily nice city, all things considered. Heavily fortified, with a ring of walls and towers surrounding the entirety of the structure.
Oliver heartily approves.
However, you had to stay at the inn there because you got in very late.
Mm-hmm.
And also the Baroness's estate is another hour outside of town, since you have to go through the town. And then she lives like 3 miles outside of town. She likes her privacy.
Fair.
But yeah, you had arrived and decided to stay the evening in preparation for tomorrow's Market's Door, the grand festival to the Church of Abadar. So I suppose we should go ahead and just jump back into things, shall we?
Let's go.
We shall.
So you each stay the night.
We hitch at our own rooms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have your own individual rooms where you're not going to share rooms. What are you, peasants?
Absolutely not.
That would be quite uncouth.
Ridiculous.
Well, depending on how full the inn was because of the market, I was actually kind of surprised we each got individual rooms.
Mm. It's true. There's a lot of people here. However, it's quite possible that Lady Voynum made them aware that she was going to have some noble guests. Or it's quite possible that you showed up and said, hey, we need some rooms. They looked at all of your signet rings and then they're like, unreserve. A couple of rooms.
I mean,
sucks to be those merchants, I guess.
Double booked.
Yeah.
Really sucks for those other people.
Yeah, seriously.
You get down there, you see them sleeping on the floor.
Aww.
Oh.
Do you feel bad about your privilege yet?
Nope.
I mean, all the time.
You wake up.
Verity doesn't anyway.
All of you dress. I'm going to assume that all of you are going to dress in courtier's outfit at the very least, although you may wish to go for your noble attire for the festivities today. You are going to be meeting with the Baroness.
Definitely going noble attire.
Yep, noble attire it is.
Gwen would have brought her noble attire.
I will probably wear just my regular one, not my fashionable one.
You're not going for your height of fashion.
Well, I don't know if Voynaris or if Voynum would really be impressed by that so much.
I doubt it. She doesn't seem the type.
And if we're traveling, it feels more practical to wear the not fashionable.
Yeah, I'm not wearing my like more expensive noble outfit. I'm just wearing my noble outfit.
Yeah, I will mention that Felix would probably get a pass today if she had her cleric's vestments wearing those as well, since this is specifically a holy ceremony to the Church of Abadar. And while you are not part of the local Church of Abadar, you are a practicing priestess.
Then I would like to wear my cleric's vestments. Yes,
that makes sense.
Yes, please.
We gotta create a church so you can be the archbanker.
That's very expensive.
It's on the list, though. And then you can be the archbanker and have another title.
It's true. You guys did meet an archbanker that was an archbanker of a church of one.
Yeah, that's 100% a thing. Also, we got to play the game of who can get the longest title by the end of this game.
it's fair.
It's the true end game. How many titles can you stack?
You've already slapped Tribune of Stackies onto your list of titles.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Oliver?
Sure. Let's go with the noble outfit. Everybody else is.
Okay. So you each dress in your finery. Bedeck yourself in your jewelry, all the rest of that. Again, it is still considered to be fashionable carrying a single sword or something like that. Basically,
which means I can carry Karina's blade.
Yeah, you can carry a long sword or something like that. Spears and crossbows and such as that, it's not really considered to be fashionable to wear while you're in your noble attire. So I'm going to imagine most of you are probably just packing a dagger in case things go south.
Yep, one whole dagger.
I guess I'll have Karina's blade, Coriana's blade, because I can't carry my bastard sword.
So, again, like a one-handed weapon or something like that. I think Verity has her katana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll take Oakheart with me. Why not?
Yeah, just slide that.
I heard go-kart, and it took me a second.
I totally heard go-kart, too.
I did not. You said Oakheart.
I heard Oakheart also.
I'm sure that's what you said, but I heard go-kart, and I went,
Oliver grabs his go-kart and his blue turtle shell and makes his way downstairs, just in case.
He's ready for the festive race that will be happening.
It's a party, right?
They didn't say what kind of party.
Let's go.
Yeah.
That's true. Then I suppose all of you make your way downstairs and meet in the... Again, it's pretty much before dawn at this point, because you know the festivities begin at dawn. But make your way downstairs, meet in the common room, have a brief breakfast there, because you're going to be very busy. So you're like, don't want to eat something too heavy before you're going to be wandering around the town all day.
Mm-hmm.
But the five of you make your way out into the city streets, which are already bustling, despite the fact that the sky overhead is that almost steel blue shade of like the sun is reaching the horizon, but hasn't actually crested yet. Despite that, in the crisp air as you step out, it's just still chill enough in the air since you are in the fall that as you step outside, there's a little shiver. You maybe pull your, you're probably wearing a thicker coat. The streets of Onaris have been, again, this was already taking place yesterday as the sun had started to set, but have been transformed to a large degree by the various strings and banners that hang between the buildings here. Most of these are of either blue or green, because this is Tal'Dorei, and every celebration is a celebration of Tal'Dorei, regardless of the religious connotations thereof.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
For Tal'Dorei.
For Tal'Dorei.
In between these are oftentimes banners of white, or sometimes yellow, which is kind of the closest that they can get to a color of gold.
Mm.
These simple banners that flutter in the breeze that runs between the buildings. Numerous stalls have already been set up. Most of them already have things laid out, and you can see people are already starting to make their way out and kind of glancing around. However, market store has not begun, and therefore no one may purchase. So it's a lot of that, like walking around like, locally sourced honey. I gotta come back there a little bit later before continuing on. Again, a large stage has been set up next to the Temple of Rastal. Although, again, a Temple of Rastal is a little bit of a misnomer since most of them tend to be very small, more shrines than anything else, since Rastal's not really big into large, ostentatious proceedings. He's much more the god of barn weddings and things like that than big cathedrals of fancy events.
To each their own.
Yeah, I was going to say, not that there's not tons of fun backyard weddings, or I think when we were looking at venues, my sister got really excited when she thought for a second Rachel might pick a place that had a barn.
Oh, no. She thought I was picking a barn.
No, she doesn't
Rachel
know Rachel.
Rachel was, no. And but if you got married in a barn, good to
this
you.
This was before, like, the barn thing was, like, renovated and beautiful and whatnot. And it's like, no, this was a barn.
This is just a barn.
And I was like, no.
Not an Instagrammable barn.
This is not a goat wedding.
This is not a goat wedding. Not that I'm against goat weddings, but, you know, it's not what I was going
for. That's not
what
it was.
Nuh-uh.
This is not the Church of Rastal where it's just like, come to our wedding and barn raising.
For our wedding, I mean, our venue, we called it a Pathfinder Lodge.
It's a fine barn, English.
And to be fair, a barn, if you're a farmer, a barn for a wedding present from the community would be amazing.
Would be amazing, yeah.
But yeah, I suppose you all go about, sort of wandering about this morning until, as the sun begins to fully rise, you can see the carriage for the Baroness rolls in, accompanied by a half dozen of her soldiers, basically the knights directly under her command, resplendent in their armor as everyone takes a moment to stop and bow. All of you are expected to, of course, bow your heads, but not bow nearly as low as all these other people.
This is still her domain.
The Baroness makes her way out of the carriage, wearing a resplendent but not ostentatious dress of black and gray, before making her way up onto the stage platform. There's a murmur that goes through. A number of the priests of Abadar, a half dozen priests of Abadar, make their way up onto stage. Accompanying all of them is the archbanker Lady Eileen Peril, whom you had also met during the Tanager Jubilee.
Indeed we did.
As she is the highest ranking person of the Faith of Abadar in all of the local area. The Baroness steps forward onto the platform, raises a hand as the crowds fall silent. After a few seconds, the bells of the Church of Abadar ring, almost as if on cue, to announce sunrise, as everyone lowers their head. After a few moments of silence, once the last tolling of the bell rings, marking that it's now 7 a.m., the Baroness lifts her head. Thank you, one and all, for joining me today in celebration of this year's Market Door. Market Door is a tradition in Tal'Dorei, a deep-rooted, faithful tradition for the Church of Abadar. Today we mark our fortune that another fall harvest has come, and we have been blessed with the bounty of our land, of which we have all strove to serve, work, and protect. Trouble and hardship are always on the horizon, but Vonaris stands strong together, as we always have, and as we always shall. It is because of you that this city prospers. It is because of you that our nation endures. Thank you for your hard work. And let us take today to celebrate that work. May those of you able purchase generously, and patronize those deserving. May the talent and hard work of our people be recognized. With that, let us begin. There's a cheer that goes up from the crowd. As like all the stall, like all the people in the market stalls, like reach out, they just dramatically remove the coverings that were covering all of their, you know, their stuff. As people start to make their way out, the bands, there's, you know, a number of musicians, battling bards at this point, scattered about the crowds that start to play their lutes dramatically.
How fitting battling for a kind of fortress town to have battling bards.
Battling bards. They're all battle bards. Gwen nods in approval. Like, yes, I too attended Battle Bard College.
Yes.
That's their intramural activity is battle bards.
Yeah.
People begin to make their way about and start to engage in the day's festivities as the Baroness descends down, notes the five of you. As I imagine you'd stand off towards the side. She has a brief conversation with the archbanker, who nods towards all of you as well in recognition of like, hey, I know those people.
We did check.
Obviously, though, like she has a couple seconds of conversation with the Baroness before setting off and coordinating with her. Her half dozen bankers that are not archbankers, but bankers of Abadar, as they go off and begin heading off towards the stalls. The Baroness approaches all of you and inclines her head politely.
Good morning.
And good morning to you. I'm pleased that you could join me today.
We were happy to accept your invitation.
Good. I know you had to travel far to make it here, and I trust the roads were not too troublesome.
Not at all.
We did not encounter any difficulty at all.
Good. I can speak for my lands when I say that the roads are well tended and guarded. I share borders, however, that I cannot speak for.
It is one thing we are already trying to improve.
Just jabbing at the Talus Barony over here.
I've already heard words from your own lands. I understand construction on the Gold Canyon Bridge has begun.
Indeed it has.
And it's progressing apace.
We're hoping it will be finished in the next few weeks.
You've obviously made a far better impression on Bartleby than I would have expected. I have not been able to get the man to agree to any rebuilding along the Grand Prince's Road.
Yeah, not going to tell her that took less than a day for us to get permission to do that.
Yeah, don't jabber with that.
He's like, my old friends, come on!
I imagine saving his life has something to do with it.
Yeah, I think the circumstances of gaining said permissions did end with me taking an arrow to the side.
Doesn't hurt that we were childhood friends with him as well. I mean, technically not really, but...
He thinks we were.
He thinks we were, and we're going to exploit that.
So. The childhood friends I could not have done. If I knew, all it would have taken was a failed assassination attempt.
I didn't take a shot at him.
She reaches out and takes a wine glass from somebody passing, sips it.
Felix has grins. The biggest smile on her face right now.
She is ready to gossip, y'all.
Hilarious.
And it's 7 a.m. and she's reaching for the wine glass.
Yeah, there's already samples of wine going. This is a wine town, so there's
Yeah, I brought her that bottle. Yeah. So.
Yep. Present the bottle.
Well, I
imagine you'll probably do that
when
you're actually at her house.
Yeah, at dinner and whatnot.
Well, then, I trust that you will take the time to enjoy the festivities today.
That was our intent.
I have a number of people to meet with, but I pray that you will accept my invitation to stay in my estate this evening and join me for dinner after the festivities are done.
Be more than happy to.
Very well.
And I do believe you said those with means should spend money, and I think I can handle that.
I would ask that you do so generously. She pauses. I know that there are some in my community, small such as it is, that are interested in branching out beyond. So, if you are interested in perhaps restarting the Bettany Vineyards, which I believe have gone fallow in the last decade, you may be able to find some families here interested in, shall we say, finding new pastures. And I would, of course, wish them well. It has been a prosperous two decades in my community, and there are many second or third generations large enough that they would find more room to grow outside of this small community. if such would be of interest to you.
I think it would indeed. Do you know specifically who we could speak with, or just...
I would simply ask around, although every one of the local vineyards will be represented here today.
Perfect.
So I'm certain if you take the time, you can find such. And any improvement to your corner of my barony will aid the barony as a whole. What is the Abadarian phrase?
This can help us all.
This can help us all.
Indeed it shall.
She inclines her head. Kind of glances past you where there's like, almost there's a queue of like local merchants and traveling people of means, as well as lesser nobility that you're like, oh, there's a few, like I recognize a couple of them from when we were at the Jubilee as well. They were the ones that weren't like, that we didn't bother really talking to.
Mm.
They were in the background. Before she excuses herself to go, again, being the hostess here, she's probably going to spend the next couple of hours talking to each and every individual who traveled all the way out here of means to convince them to use those means to better her barony.
Yeah, makes sense.
She's the hostess well with the mostess.
Yep, definitely.
You are in Veneris here for Market's Door. Again, Market's Door is a grand celebration. The festival starting at dawn, and to all of your understanding, it basically runs until the market's door is representative of the market's door's opening, which is dawn, and then runs until the market's doors close, which is literally sunset. Festival that'll be going on for like the next 12 hours. That being said, you're probably not going to be walking around for the next 12 hours and all the rest of that, but it is a lot of like, you know, try out the local wine. And of course, since there's all these wineries, you know, the local
food trucks.
Yes, all the local food trucks show up. No, I was going to say the local ranchers and all the rest of that stuff have brought out their best cheeses to pair with the wines. And the local bakers are like, here's all the breads that we've made that pair great with these wines as well.
Is there a pie contest like at the Texas Day Fair?
Like a pie eating contest?
No, like when you present your best dessert.
Yeah, like who gets a blue ribbon and pie?
I see.
Yeah.
There is not here. It's more of a wine contest. There's also like a little... I always pronounce this incorrectly, I believe. Sommelier?
Yeah,
Sommelier.
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 Got it right. You know, where like you can go over there and they'll do a little blindfold thing and they give you like three different wines for you to taste and you're supposed to be able
Felix
to try to
totally
identify
that. Felix is totally
going to
try that.
That seems like a Felix thing.
That's how we find
dinner.
The best wine and know what family
find
to be
the best
like,
wine
come to
family
status.
To invite, yeah.
In the meantime, Verity's like constantly just pace yourselves. Like, we're going to be here for a while.
Meanwhile, Felix is like, double fisting, like, sip one, wonderful. Sip another, wonderful.
I live on a vineyard.
This isn't a, that one family that throws the orgies. It isn't one of their parties.
Den Zarni.
Ah, yes. Yes, it's not a Den Zarni
party. You were quick to answer that, Cornelius.
That is true.
The Den Zarni and the Marisets have interactions. We are social with each other.
Social.
Sometimes too social.
Gwen grins and takes a sip of her wine because she ain't slowing down either. She's right behind Felix.
Felix knows you drink, but then you eat. So she knows how to balance
it. You're supposed
to
eat before you drink, but you know.
It's true.
I'm sure we had breakfast.
Yeah, you had a small breakfast.
Oh, that's true, actually.
Well, if you notice the layout of this market, all of the drinking is first and then all of the purchasing is after because your purse strings are looser when you're drunk.
My purse strings were loose the moment I walked into a market.
Your purse strings are never loose. Don't lie to me.
It is on an Abadarian festival day.
I've seen your ledger.
I mean, it feels appropriate that I spend money on
this. Well, of course you won't spend money. I'm just saying, don't do it while drunk, because that's how you bring home things you don't even think that you want.
But Market Store, for the most part, Market Store is really geared in three directions, if you really want. First off is the buying and selling of things. So this is more or less like a farmer's market. As you're walking around, again, there's stalls that are like, here's your various local wines, foodstuffs, your, again, I made the joke, but there is a, I always want to, is it apiarist?
Apiarist?
Honey?
Like for honey?
Yeah,
there's
a beekeeper, apiarist. There's there's like the apiarist over there with all of his local honey.
Oh, we gotta buy some of that.
There's various spices, mostly. It's sage, parsley,
Rosemary and Thyme.
And Thyme.
Yeah. Like the song. The bard over there is battle barding, singing that song.
I'll actually allow either a knowledge local or a knowledge nature.
Knowledge local. Do I have either of those? Oh, I do have local. I surprised myself.
You're up on the gossip. That feels very dirty.
No, I'm not.
Oh,
no,
my God.
No, you're not. I got a 1 for a 7, so Verity is not aware.
Verity's not properly pacing herself.
Hey, that was important.
Cornelius rolls a 13 for a 25.
Jeez. I roll a 1 for a 9 on nature. Jeez.
Dang, get him out. Get him out right now.
I feel not as bad then, because I still only rolled a 3, but I did get a 14.
Okay.
Sorry, that was...
Ugh. Again, this is a little bit more, I guess, obscure for y'all. There's a lot of... you know, there's various places that you can go as far as the day's going on when you're stopping for lunch. There's, you know, a bunch of local delicacies, various pastas. There's a lot of places here that have made a variety of dried pastas and all the rest of that.
Ooh, yes.
You know, locally sourced sauces and that. It's Cornelius that notes is like there are kind of the standard fare that you'd expect here. You know, as far as the meats are concerned, there's, you know, chicken and beef and all the rest of that available. But there's a shocking amount of dried meats available. There's actually three different stalls, and most of them seem to be primarily venison, which should be very strange considering the void wood, which is where most of the deer would be located, would be considered, like, hunting there would be considered poaching. That being said, there's a shocking amount of venison here.
I mean, it's possible that she gives hunting permits.
Yeah.
The hunting permits is quite possible, but with your knowledge local skill, you are aware that technically speaking, any hunting in the Voidwood would be considered to be poaching, because a hunting permit would have to not only go through the Baroness, but all the way up through the Count.
Oh, yeah.
You have heard rumors, however, that the Baroness is very lax with the people of the town going into the wood collecting mushrooms, as you do see like a stall full of various things that have been collected from the forest, as well as hunting in the woods, particularly
Didn't
for
she
deer
invite us to
or
come to come hunting.
Yep.
Yeah, she invited you to come hunting as well.
Yeah.
So, from what you understand, she's actually very lax as far as enforcing poaching rules for her community here.
I mean, that
that's probably her little way of rebelling.
Her not knowing the phrase "this can," what's the Abadarn phrase?
This will help us all.
This will help us all. I think she's Rastilian?
Rastilian?
Rastilian? In which case, she would never, you know, want to stop people from being able to feed their families.
So again, that's one part of the day, is that whole market side of it. There's the second part of the day, which is actually the religious side. Again, this is a religious festival, mostly for the Church of Abadar. This would probably, for the non-Abadarians, which I think are 3 out of 5 of you,
yep.
This is a part of the Church of Abadar that you don't normally see, and it's like, how is this exactly religious? All the merchants have showed up here to set up their stalls and all the rest of that. One, to of course buy and sell, but two, is for the Church of Abadar to go around and test their scales.
Oh, yeah.
They bring their own scales out, set them out, so that they can verify that all of their scales are up to code, and then provide them with a writ and stamp to say, we have tested your scale and your scale is up to code.
Yeah, there's a little part of Felix that wishes she'd brought her scales.
She's like, I need my scales
tested.
I'm
sure she has some just for, like balancing her books.
Dang it, I came all this way and forgot my very heavy scales.
I'm sure there's smaller ones.
Well, but like it depends. I guess it depends on what size scales these merchants are using. Because like if you're weighing, you know, wheels of cheese, you need a rather large one.
Yeah, if you're weighing a large bulk of something like that, you would need a larger scale. But for many people, there are things along the lines of, again, if they're selling you a small bag of rosemary or something like that, or especially if you're doing something a little bit more precious than that, like if there's a merchant here that happens to be selling, I don't know, saffron or something like that,
it would be
way more expensive per gram of weight than you need properly weighted scales. So there is an entire religious aspect of that. There is also off towards the side where the Church of Arastel has set up their own, like, not to really interfere with the Church of Abadar and their holy day, but they've also set up their own little, like, area over here of showing off, like, local artwork. So if you want, like, a deerskin pouch or something like that, that's where they have that off to the side. Mm. The last part of it is Market's Door is actually very big for children.
Makes sense.
Really?
It's mostly so the Church of Abadar can do a thing to occupy all of the merchants and all of the farmers' children all day so that everyone else can focus on trade.
Love it.
And so there are a lot of children's games going on that you can kind of observe. The only one that really kind of interferes with any of you, and I use interferes loosely because, you know, it's just children being children. One of the most popular Markets Day game, children are provided with wood cutouts of objects. So like apples or, you know, a bunch of grapes or things like that. Mm-hmm. And they then have to go around bartering and trading with other children to create the most valuable collection of items. So, like, I'll give you 2 of my apples for your other thing.
It's literally training them to be merchants.
It basically trains them in negotiation skills, understanding
it's
the
like
value of objects.
that's amazing.
Trade and wealth.
That is amazing.
And so a lot of times the children will do that, and then like they're encouraged to stop other people and like ask them, like, how much do you think 3 apples is worth this banana? You know, sort of like negotiation. And since they're very small children, they know well enough to bow to you, but they're still, it's not going to stop them from asking the nobility of like, it's like, how much would you pay for this turkey?
It's only one turkey. How much could it cost?
It's only one turkey.
That's so funny.
In addition to that, after the noonday break is when the participants, mostly children, although there actually is an adult version of this as well, although unfortunately this is a little bit below your station, participate in what is commonly referred to as the harvest race. This is where everyone is given baskets of harvest goods, and then they will have to navigate through an obstacle course that mimics the challenges of bringing goods to market.
Okay. What do they think it takes to bring goods to market? I'm curious.
Well, this includes like hurdles, which represent like hills and such to take the material over. Yep. Basically, small areas that are representative of like trenches, weaving through poles to navigate trade routes, quote unquote, for the children especially. There's even for the children balancing sections, which are representations of fairness and integrity in trade for the children to do balance beams.
Felix leans over to her group and says, I will give anyone who wants to try that 50 gold.
Really?
That's not anything.
I mean,
Verity says going,
compared
I can
to what the money
thing.
We have now is.
Oliver's like, are you challenging me?
I mean, I'm a devotee of Kyrgyz, okay?
One, I know that Cornelius needs the money.
It's,
two,
Cornelius needs
I think
the money. Cornelius
funny
lacks
to watch
the
him
skills.
Do it.
Yeah, Cornelius lacks the skills to do that. No way. Not embarrassing myself.
Hey, I didn't say you had to succeed. I just said do it.
Gwyn looks down at her dress that she's wearing and contemplates.
I mean, if it's a challenge that you're formally giving to me, then I think I have no choice but to accept.
Barry looks at
40
both of
years
you.
And nothing has changed with
just
Oliver.
Like, what is this?
Yeah, nothing has changed with Oliver at all.
Do we want to do this in front of the Baroness?
I think she would be amused. I would be amused.
Hence why I'm offering.
Do we think she would be amused?
Actually, I don't know. Can we sense motive on that?
Are we throwing Rick the ultimate curveball right now?
All right. If we want to sense motive, then I guess let's try it real quick.
Yeah, feel free if you want to sense motive on the Baroness.
Oh, that's right. I have no sense motive.
Yeah, no, Verity's just pretty confident in her own thoughts.
Yeah. I was just trying to figure out a way to get Cornelius some money.
And he's just
didn't,
like, no.
He didn't take the bait.
That's
find
physical.
Find something that's intellectual and not physical.
Do you think you're too good for physical labor?
No, I think I'm too bad at physical labor to be anything less than embarrassing.
Physical labor.
Once again, I did not say that you needed to be successful. I just said you needed to do it.
Truly, you could just give him the money and make him do something else, like a silly little dance.
I know, but this is way more entertaining.
Cornelius wouldn't do a silly little dance either.
He was good at dancing, apparently.
That was a serious dance, not a silly dance.
I mean, it
What's
was
What's wrong with
silly
dances?
So your interpretation, looking over towards the Baroness, is you think that she would be okay with this if you made it a pot. Because the thing is if Oliver's competing and then because of his athletic training and all the rest of that stuff outperforms the various commoners that are going in for like the small ward here, if you waited until someone had already won and then had Oliver step up as a, you know, let's do a fun thing of he runs the gauntlet. If Oliver wins, I'll gift him 50 gold pieces. If Oliver can't beat the best time, I give it to the person that won previously as an extra bonus incentive, then she would probably be okay with that. But she wouldn't want him competing.
You're going to be giving this commoner a fortune.
I'm not against it.
It's Felix's money if she wants to do it.
Yeah, I got plenty of money. Let's do it.
And Oliver's happy to participate.
So the winner for the initial run was a cobbler. So if instead it's if Oliver wins, I give him 50 gold pieces. If Oliver loses, obviously this cobbler is a man of great ability, and therefore I will commission a new set of boots for the entirety of the party, or something along those lines, of giving business back into the community. Then she would approve of that, because
cool,
that is very Abadarian.
I would like a new pair of boots.
We could all do with a new pair. Really, he
You're
won.
You're betting on me to lose. Eh?
Here's what we found out. This guy is the founder of Nike, right? The best performing
Nike
shoes.
Themselves.
Yes.
But no, if you would like me to partake in the challenge, I am more than game.
Yes, I think this would be worth our time.
I do enjoy Oliver having a sporting chance, whereas I would have none.
I will do my best not to disappoint anyone. But keep in mind, it's been a while since I've done any sort of foot races.
You win either way. Either you get 50 gold or you get a new pair of boots.
I could use with a new pair of winter boots. It's going to start getting cold soon.
That is a funny way of looking that we've kind of rigged this so we win either way.
Yes, but both ways, like, money goes... Well, I guess only one way does the money go to the town, but yeah. I'm going to be spending more money here.
Actually, really, only Felix loses because she's spending the money.
Yes, but it's my holiday. I get to spend money if I want to.
She doesn't consider it a loss, so it's not a loss.
Varen just looks disturbed. Vaguely irritated, but not really at you, just at the situation. Mm.
So here is how I'm going to run this.
All right.
I'm going to need you to make either a strength or constitution check, your choice.
Okay.
For the initial run, for how well you can hold up the basket, or how well that you can do the initial run.
Mm-hmm.
After that, you will need to make a climb or just a flat strength, whichever you have, to get over the hurdles, because you're going to be grabbing those, holding the basket, and then kind of parkouring over the hurdles. So it's a
I'm
little
really
bit of
climbing.
I'm
really glad I didn't consent to do this. These are all skills I'm not good
at.
And
for the last stretch, you're going to need to make an acrobatics check for the balancing beam right there at the end.
All right, well, that last one's going to be a challenge, but we'll see.
And instead of making a skill DC for this, you want to accumulate a total of 40.
Whoa, all right, I agree to it, let's go. Let's see what happens, whether or not Oliver falls on his face.
Hey, you just need two nat 20s, man. Two nat 20s, you got it.
Just two nat 20s.
I just need a 1 in 400 chance.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I realize I'm asking for the impossible. That's what makes it funny.
Start with that strength check. Let's go. Right.
So Oliver takes off running. He's running along the track. He's doing good. He's holding this up.
9 for a 12. It's pretty 12. Average. So we'll
all right.
Start with
You're
that.
Doing good. You're holding this in place. You're running along. You've got your basket. You're coming up to the hurdles. You know, there's a lot of people clapping and a lot of people like, well, I didn't expect to. Didn't that guy count?
Yeah, Felix is like, no,
really, he outranks the Baroness. We don't know why.
All right, let's try this climb check. Oh, that was almost a 15.
Oh, almost.
All right, well, that is a 7 for a 13. I'm at 25.
So you struggle a little bit at the 25. Hurdles. You're sitting there, you're like, but you're still doing good. Like, you're still a very fit person. And now you're running towards that balance beam.
Oh, this
is that balance beam. One side being fairness and the other side integrity, that you have to balance between the two of those for trade.
All right. Let's try it. Come on.
Yeah, there we go.
That was better, but it's not enough. That's a 12 for a 13.
Oh, I didn't realize your acrobatics was so bad. Oh, no.
No, my acrobatics is bad.
Oh, no.
So unfortunately, you do slow down, and while you're kind of balancing and going along there, you do lose a few potatoes, which does cost you some points before you reach the end of that. With a grand total of 38, you're just second-place win.
Yeah, it's close.
Two more on any of those dice rolls, and that would have been enough.
Yep.
But I guess Felix, you mark that off. You go over there. You hand off the gold to Nikki. I just don't want it to be Nike.
She's Nicolette, and everybody just calls her
Nikki. Yeah.
Nicolette. But yeah, I suppose you go over there and negotiate that. Like, hey, commission this whole thing. I'm gonna need you get the party's boot size.
Gwyn needs a nice pair of winter boots.
Yeah,
winter's like, coming up.
Winter is coming, so you can get some nice, good
so
winter
we'll get
boots.
Winter boots for everybody. How much? So is that 50
gold
worth, or do I need to give her more?
You're gonna do 50 gold pieces of boots.
Yep, 10 right. gold. 10 gold.
And that was your bet.
I'll go in and shake her hand as well, as she is a fellow competitor and won fair and square. So there we go.
She bows very deeply to you because that is extraordinarily generous for a count.
Yeah. And then Felix turns to the group and says, what can I say except you're welcome?
I am in no way indebted to you, but I will thank you for the boots.
Yes, thank you for the boots. Good job, Oliver.
Yes. Oh, thanks.
We can always count on you, pat him on the shoulder.
Good job on making it close.
At least it was close. Start. Ugh, gods, I really need to run more at home.
You could join Vanity on our morning jogs.
Yes, perhaps I should.
I like that all of us are like, okay, I guess everybody needs to do morning jogs now.
Oh, we didn't say everybody, we said him. None of us volunteered ourselves.
Oliver's just sitting there, it's like, we need to set up a balance beam. I should have learned from my fight with that rat that I need to work my balance
going to learn
beam.
Gymnastics.
Stupid
rat.
That stupid immortal rat. The great Daigo.
So what kind of, since we are supposed to spend money, what kind of stuff can we spend money on? Just...
I was just going to mention there is a final children's game that goes on throughout the entire day, which is a scavenger hunt because they have hidden keys all around the town for children to go and find.
Nice.
So there's constantly children like looking under rocks and climbing up
into
trees.
If Gwen finds any keys, she slips them to the children.
Oh, you do that thing where you're like, oh, are you looking for the keys? And you kind of glance, literally look where they are so they follow
Gwen
your eyes.
Or Gwen will like,
you know,
tap one on the shoulder and then just subtly point and be like,
yeah. Yeah, I figure I keep a good hold on mine then.
They go up, they're like, that one, that's one of the keys, and grab it off your neck.
Like, no, it's the holy symbol.
No, it's not. I'm not part of the game.
Hey, I need to cast spells. No, come back.
Each of these are simple wooden keys. However, they do actually function as holy symbols to Abadar. So for any of the children, they can keep them afterwards. They are also each have a small tag on them that are written with local community values. Or sometimes local community laws to keep in mind for the children to find and be like, oh, I got this law. As they're kind of collecting
everybody
some
compares
of the local laws
at the end. It's like, hey, I got all the laws for commerce. I got all the laws for murder trials. This is great.
It's true. What is that? What is a hail habeas corpus? What does that mean?
Yeah,
you're too young for that, child. You take it away. But yeah, as far as purchasing and all the rest of that stuff is concerned, again, you can buy things in the village. You can't really sell things in the village right now, but you can buy things. So if you wanted to purchase any of like the local honey or local spices and all the rest of that, those are available here, as well as various wines.
Well, I would like to buy spices to bring back to our chef at home, and I would like to buy some local honey for all of our employees.
And we should buy some
wine
local wine, just because.
I'm very confused about why you keep buying things for others and not for yourself.
She's very generous for Abadarian.
A very generous
for
Abadarian.
I will eventually buy things for myself, but I like to keep my staff happy.
To be fair, she's on the good side of Abadar. Like, she's, you know, good before law.
She's not
law.
Going to let a child die because her parents can't pay.
Well, sure. Yeah, I'm not saying we let children die. I'm just saying the servants have honey.
She doesn't let them die, but she will invoice them later.
I will not.
You said that the Temple of Arastel had like pelts and stuff. Do they have like a really nice like winter cloak or anything?
Yeah, you could probably get a very nice winter cloak. Again, most of the cloaks and all the rest of that stuff are like deer skin or boar pelt and things like that. They'll probably have things like deer skin and they'll line the inside of it with like fleece or something like that to make it a little bit warmer. But no, you're not going to get any like wolfskin pelts or anything like that. They try their best to avoid hunting predators because the predators help keep the population of the
deer
local prey.
As long as something's nice enough to be considered nice enough to go with my noble clothing, winter is getting close.
Winter is coming.
I mean, it's nice in the like this is obviously done with skill. That being said, since it is a Rastilian, it's very practical as far as most of this. Like you would need to
embellish
it with something
else. I can use it when we're riding and going about town.
Oh yeah,
I'll buy a cloak.
Very well.
I'll buy you could buy a winter's outfit. Horse, you know, like one of those covers for when they get cold.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Little horse blanket.
Yes, a horse blanket.
And I'm going to buy some more honey, too, for me.
Yes, also I have honey for myself.
Everybody
put
in your
myself.
Inventory, you have honey. This may become necessary to pull out and throw at something. How many vials of
more
honey
we're
do you
not
have?
Gonna, our allergies aren't going to be as bad once we start eating this.
I'm pretty sure that's a myth.
We bought honey somewhere else, by the way, because I have in my inventory honey.
Yeah, in the Beggarwood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Or I did anyway. I don't know if you did.
I did too.
Somebody did, yeah.
So how much is this cloak and this honey?
1 pound of honey is a gold piece. So an ounce of honey would probably be, I mean, there's 16 ounces to a pound. So probably 2 silver pieces for an ounce, just because it comes in a smaller, or per ounce. So, you know, get a bulk discount if you buy it by the pound.
That's too much honey.
That's so
and the
much
horse
honey.
Blanket?
Horse blanket, I would say, it counts as winter clothing, just but for your horse.
Okay.
So it's a gold piece for a pound of honey.
I'll just put.
You could have
piece,
that in multiple jars, also. So if you're like, I wanted to buy a jar for myself and then a jar just to leave at the Bettany estate and be like, I want a spoonful of honey with my tea in the morning.
What about the seasonings and stuff?
It really depends on what seasonings, but I'd say probably a gold piece would get you a variety of different seasonings. So
Your
standard array of Italian seasonings as far as your parsley, sage, rosemary, thyme, all
We're
the
rest of that.
We're
making our own Italian seasoning, y'all.
Yeah, you can make your own. A little oregano in there. But yeah, I suppose throughout the day you go about and buy various things, contribute to the local economy in preparation for joining Voynum this evening. I will allow. Again, by this point, the party's scattered, but I will allow the party to make me a perception roll.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go.
All right. A 16 for a 16.
Cornelius has got a 2 or a 12 for a 14.
Gwen rolls a perfect 20 for a 27.
Nice.
All right.
Felix got a 14 for a 26.
And Oliver rolled a 2 for a 2.
Ouch.
Okay.
Yep. So, I noticed nothing.
Yeah, so the magic bros, like, you found a single jeweler here that's selling, like, powdered silver. And you're like, maybe we need these for spell components. As you're, like, looking over here, like, what can we pick up spell component-wise from the local fair here?
Yeah.
Maybe Oliver's looking at, like, a little place that sells amulets or something like that, where it's like, they've got a carved wooden shield. I could use that for my shield spell.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's like, Cornelius is looking there and going, I could enchant that, maybe. How much is this? Is this enough for me to be able to enchant it? It has to cost a certain amount.
You know, off towards the side, the ladies have just finished going back to the... Is that like you pass by, you know, the honey place, and you're like, we have to go back to the honey place. And you finally went back to the honey place after buying some, like, cinnamon roasted almonds or something like that. And you circled back around.
Oh, yes. Gwen's been eating those all day.
So delicious, pecans.
Well, I guess the Grand Prince's nuts here.
If everyone can't tell listening to this, this is just before dinner that we're recording this. I'm very hungry.
Yeah. Where is the turkey leg?
To be fair, we're sitting here like everything about the food. We need all the details, Rick. Do as the ASMR of food.
Probably a lot of people listening that's like, stop talking about food. I'm so hungry.
Also, a lot of people that are just like, wait a minute. But I need to go to the Ren Fair.
It's getting much later in the day. Again, you supped for lunch altogether. Again, Oliver participated in his little race. You've probably been, again, those of you that are children inclined have probably been like helping the children with their search and all the rest of that.
Gwen is definitely helping the children with the keys.
Kind
by
of
this
proving
point.
That you're not the stereotypical nobles where you're just like, oh, look at these dirty little farm children. Let's help them figure out how to do trade barter system or help them find keys. Honestly, finding the keys and being able to keep them as holy symbols is really good propaganda for the Church of Avatar.
I was literally sitting here and I was like, how is this going to turn into propaganda for the church? Because there's got to be a way.
One of the keys has a thing on it that says, remember, no body, no crime is not a defense.
You can still be charged.
Mm-hmm. That's how they get you. However, the three of you, it's getting closer to sundown. You think it's probably about maybe 2 hours or so away from sundown now. As you look off towards the side, the Baroness has been going about the whole day, meeting with the locals, talking with people, even kind of like rolling forward your sense motive checks from earlier, especially as far as Gwen and Felix are concerned. The Baroness is, to a certain degree, kind of distant, but you can tell that the people here, if not love, very much respect her.
Mm.
The local populace are obviously quite well militantly trained. And as such, there's that certain like military respect given you pretty much from anyone that is over the age of 15 or so, where they have probably served at the very least briefly, since you believe that's required military service in the town of Veneris. There's that respect given to a commanding officer when they see the Baroness going about. She's in the process of chatting to one of the locals when a man in a military uniform. And by that, I mean he's actually wearing chainmail, has a fine tabard displaying the local crest for House Veneris. Makes his way up, an older gentleman with a thick handlebar mustache and large mutton chops. Makes his way over, interrupts, and takes the Baroness off towards the side. And as you're looking over, you can tell that they're having a very serious conversation. Hmm. Whether or not you want to creep closer and drop some eaves, that's up to you. But unfortunately, only the ladies have noticed this.
I think the Baroness would be, to put it lightly, pissed with us if we tried to do that. So.
She'd be quite irate. Hot,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I will be respectful and wait for her to finish. And then if we have a chance to inquire, we can inquire.
After talking to this man, she nods, seems to thank him, judging by the expression, as he turns and begins to make his way off towards the city gate, the eastern gate. It's at this point that she turns, flags down one of her knights, and then has a conversation with him before he salutes to her and makes a beeline straight towards the stables.
That's a bad
sign. Okay, now we need to like approach the Baroness. Let's meander over there.
Yeah, if the three of you wish to approach.
Yes.
She glances over towards you and inclines her head. I pray that you've been enjoying yourselves.
Of course. Immensely. But is everything all right?
There is a situation that I'm going to need to tend to. I apologize, but I may be late for tonight's dinner. My men will escort you to the estate.
Or is it something that we could help with?
Possibly. There's a local couple. Their daughter is missing.
Oh.
The city guard has been searching for her, but they have been unsuccessful. I, however, have a kennel of hounds. They have asked for their assistance in the matter.
We would be more than happy to assist.
She looks over the three of you, particularly Verity. Thinks back to, again, the hunting, back at the gala, and kind of nods and that, like,
Yes, we talked so much about hunting and horses and such.
I know that you are quite capable in the woods. The child went missing outside of the city and may have gotten lost in the woods.
How old is she?
4.
Then time is of the essence.
Yes, unfortunately she has been missing for most of the day. The city watch has been doing a thorough search, but they have been unsuccessful. And time, she glances up towards the sky, is not on our side.
Indeed not.
I hate to impose, but since you are volunteering your skills, I must graciously accept. If you wish to gather your missing companions, saddle your horses and meet us at the eastern gate. I'm going to return back to the estate and make certain that my stable master and my kennel master have the horses and hounds ready so that we can join in the search.
We'll meet you there.
All right, we will.
Very well. She turns, pauses for a moment. The edges of the Voidwood are safe, but if the child is lost deeper, I would prepare for any eventuality.
And that you should probably arm and, you know,
yeah.
yourselves.
We go back, back and get our gear, yeah.
Yeah.
Round up Cornelius and Oliver.
Round up the boys.
They're currently debating, like, it's like, do you like the kite shield design for the focus, or do you think it should be a round shield? Before you make your way over, it's like, situation at hand.
Yeah.
Yes. We must find this child immediately. Let's go.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can rush back to the inn, inform the stable boy. While you're going up, you can inform them, like, we need you to saddle our horses and all the rest of that stuff while you make your way up. This is a matter of utmost importance, and since you're nobles, they immediately jump to.
Yeah.
It's very advantageous for all of you, as opposed to the standard adventurers, where it's just like, oh, well, we have to go and do all this. That's like, no, we walk in, we go, stable my horse immediately, and they're like, yes, your countess.
Yes. Your countess.
Yes, Count Tacular. And salutes
and
wow. Not a breakfast cereal.
Yes, Count Chocula.
Yes, my Count Chocula.
My chocolatiest.
But yeah, I'm going to assume that you don your your armor, you ready your weapons and make your way back down. By this point, all of your horses, all of your noble steeds have already been prepared for you. Before you make your way out, again, you're going to guess that there's a certain... not wanting to interrupt the festivities, especially for all the people that have traveled so far to sell at market. And so I imagine that you probably take the back road. Again, there is a back road that kind of leads its way through town as opposed to going through the market.
Well, we don't want to incur panic either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and again, you are aware that, as she had informed you, that the child was lost outside of town. And therefore, they probably don't want a whole bunch of people, especially people not from the area, going like, I'll volunteer to help search, and then wandering off into the woods.
Rush into the void.
Just causing more problems than help. Yeah.
Yes. You don't want it to be the great disappearance of, 4715 or whatever it was, where it's like, and 30 people went in a search party and all disappeared.
All were eaten by a grue.
All were eaten by the noble boule.
Oh, no.
The noble boule.
The forest boule.
Yeah, I will go ahead and cast mage armor on myself, just so... We got
not
that,
a bad plan
going, because that'll last for 5 hours.
Yep.
Exiting the town, exiting back out through the eastern gate. You have a moment to gather yourselves. Again, the Baroness said informed you that she'd meet you there in about an hour. And honestly, you've still got about another 30 minutes or so as she's gone to retrieve the hounds and return with those as you exit out.
you can see outside of the gate, of course, people are coming and going, and there is that little bit of that discordance where it's like you can still hear all the happy celebrations and all the rest of that stuff. But as you exit out here, you can see that there's a small gathering of guardsmen off towards the side. And then a little bit further down the path from there, you can see what appears to be two very distraught parents. These two women comforting one another, seemingly obviously quite upset about the turn of events here. Both of them, even like as you walk out and you glance over, you can tell that the two young women are probably in their mid-20s and obviously are quite tired looking. And despite having having worn their best for today's festivities, they are covered in a fair amount of trail dust and a few scrapes and scratches from navigating through the woods, as you can only assume that they've been searching all day, but have finally taken a moment to stop.
Apologies. We don't mean to bother you, but the Baroness has informed us of the situation. Are you perhaps the parents of the missing child?
One of the women glances up. The other's obviously quite exhausted. The woman glances up, nods. She has this thick shock of black hair. And again, judging by her clothing, you're going to say that they're both commoners, or maybe tradespeople. Although they are definitely wearing their Sunday best, for lack of a better term, for coming to market. The woman squeezes her wife's hand before standing to her feet. Yes, I'm... she bows at the waist after... There's a moment where she's just like, oh, you're just wearing armor. And then she recognizes, like, oh, no, you've got the signet ring. And you all carry yourselves with that bearing, balancing books on your heads. Yes, I'm Starla. This is Estelle. The other woman just nods and does her best, like, bows her head, but is obviously quite distracted.
We're about to head into the woods to take a look, but would you mind if we asked you a few questions?
Yes, and thank you, Lord, for looking for Atrenia. We've been searching all day.
I suppose the first question, then, is at what point did you notice that she'd gone missing?
She sighs, kind of looks off. I will allow the party to make me, you know, Oliver's kind of fronting here, but make me a diplomacy check.
I assume I get my bonus.
They are commoners, so yes.
I got a 3 for 13.
I roll a 2 for an 11.
I roll another perfect 20 for a 32.
Wow.
I got a 12 for a 24.
Oliver also gets a perfect 20 for a 30. Nice. Not quite as good as Quinn. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Still good, though. We'll take it.
Yeah.
You know, Oliver, you make your, like, I'm sure that there's a lot of that, like, that comforting, especially, there's probably a certain genuineness with Oliver, with Gwen, with Felix, of that, like, you're all parents, of that, like, I can only imagine what you're going through right now, we're gonna do everything, and there's that certain, once you step in, of, it's like, oh, they've got horses, and the Baroness has gone to get, you know, the hounds. The woman nods, We set out this morning. We live outside of town. We have a small farm where we grow wheat. My wife's a baker, and we go into town. Usually she goes into town every morning to sell what she cooks and then returns back. It's by cart. It's only a half-hour journey.
Which direction is your farm from here?
Northeast, about 2 miles up the road. If you're following along the road, it's past the two bridges over the Void Stream before you get to the North Casimir Highway.
Okay, so she went the wrong way if she was trying to go home.
If she went towards the Voidwood, yes.
Yeah.
Trinia's 4. She'll be 5 this winter. We thought she was old enough to come with us to the market and join the other children, but she looks pained as she looks back up the road. We travel this road every day. Usually it only takes half an hour, but it was taking longer than usual. The bridges were congested with everyone coming in for the festival, and we were riding in the front and she was in the back. She must have jumped off the cart when we were forced to stop. We know that she was with us when we went over the first bridge. And when we stopped at the second, we looked back and she wasn't there. It was just before dawn when she went missing, and we searched back the road. It's only a mile or so.
but we couldn't find her. And then I continued to search, and Estelle rode back to the house in case she turned around, she'd gotten lost. We'd always told her that if she got lost, to follow the road, and it would take her back home. But when my wife got back home, she wasn't there. We kept searching, or I kept searching. She met back up with me, and we searched until a little bit, until it's starting to get close to noon. And by that point, after we hadn't found her, Estelle went into town and informed the sheriff, and the guards came out, and they helped me search, but we still... She sighs and stares off. We still haven't found anything.
Does your daughter have a favorite animal or anything that might have compelled her to get out of the cart?
She loves horses. Butterflies.
There's a very good chance that it was just... She thought she was playing a game. I don't think that this was done with any ill intent, but we're going to do everything we can to find her.
What does Trinia look like?
She's 4. She'll be 5 soon. Like I said, she has blonde hair. She glances back.
Do you remember what she was wearing?
The woman's wife nods. It was a blue dress. We just bought it for her. Light blue with a white shirt under it and black shoes.
Right. Well, we'll begin our search as soon as the Baroness comes up with the hounds. But I want to assure you that we will do everything in our power to make sure we find her and bring her home safe.
Starla nods. Thank you, my lord and my ladies. I would join you, but...
You've done enough for now.
She glances back. Again, they've obviously been searching for nearly 12 hours now.
Yeah, I mean, they're exhausted. It's quite all right. Take a rest, and we'll handle it from here.
As you make said promise, again, you turn back as you hear the distant sound of hooves approaching, and you look back to find that the Baroness has returned, again, with a half dozen of her own knights, as well as 6 bounding large bloodhounds.
Oh, wow.
So cute.
Yep, aww. Big floppy ears.
Oh,
big old doggies. Cuties!
Yeah.
Add a little bit of levity to the situation. As they trot up, the Baroness now switched over into her own chainmail with sword on hip as she climbs out of the saddle and begins to approach. As again, you glance up towards the maybe hour of sunlight you have left as the sun's just beginning to touch that furthest horizon. And we'll start the search and rescue next time.
All right.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da.
Let's go.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
It wasn't an attack or anything, but no, yes, there's a missing 4-year-old desperately in need of your rescue. Yeah. So.
I'm going to give her a 4 or a 5 on the disaster scale.
I hope she hasn't been a bear snack.
Yeah, all you got to do is look away for 2 seconds, and 4-year-olds can just disappear because they're like, ooh, squirrel, and just zoom off.
Yep.
Which is probably exactly what happened.
Yeah. When they mentioned butterfly, I'm like, she saw a butterfly and went off, 100%.
Yeah. You know.
I mean, it could be literally a, so, because again, as a small child, I personally don't like, I think I've mentioned this a few times, I don't like swimming, I don't like water parks.
Mm.
But yeah, my parents like to tell the story of how they turn their back for a second. I think we're at Wet n Wild here in
it's Hurricane Harbor now, but it's Wet n Wild back
Harbor.
In the day.
It used to be Wet n Wild, it's Hurricane Harbor now, here in Dallas. And that, yeah, they turn their back for a second, and I said that I didn't want to go on a ride with my sister, and then apparently, I guess I just changed my mind, and so I just turned around and went back to go actually I will go on that ride.
You know, I think you're describing exactly something that happened to me also at a water park, not Wet n Wild, but at a water park where I got lost in the exact same way.
I super terrified my parents at age 4 at a car show. Because I was hopping in and out of the cars, and apparently I hopped in the driver's side, hopped out of the passenger side, and then just kept going. And I was just having a great time. And my parents were freaking out because they didn't know where the heck I went. And I was just getting it out of cars.
So yes, this this plot line is no indictment of these parents' ability to raise a children so much as children's ability to get themselves lost.
Yep.
Especially in a fantasy world where, God help you, if it was just a little fae, went, hey, kid, and then they're
I'm not going to lie. As soon as you said there's a child missing, I'm fae did it. Like, I don't need the rest of the story. The Fae somehow did this. It is absolutely profiling.
I think it's the terrifying deer monster on this map that did it.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Was it looking a little horse-like for the...
There is a little bit of a big deer staying in the middle
double
of the void wood there. On the,
it has
the art,
double
so.
Antlers black and eyes. Big black eyes. I'm
Dude,
like, this
I'm
thing is
you,
a monster.
It's also chunky as all get out. Like, that's not a normal deer for sure.
It's reminding me of Princess
Mononoke the chunky deer
quite a bit,
it's,
actually.
Yeah, it's a little Mononoke. Okay, yeah.
If we've learned nothing else from Princess Mononoke, children turn out fine.
Oh, yeah, all the time, 100%.
But you know who probably never terrified their parents? Our patrons.
Yeah, that's I doubt not true. I bet every single one did.
Every
we
single
all
one of
four
you.
We were once.
Yep.
It's true. But we do want to take an opportunity to, of course, thank our patrons, and as always, to thank some of our patrons by name. And I'm going to go ahead and kick this off with a special thank you to Kim Robbins. Thank you, Kim.
All right. Thank you, Kim.
Thanks, Kim.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you, Kim.
Appreciate you so much.
I would like to thank Michael Petlick.
Well, all right. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Sorry if we've mispronounced that, but regardless, thank you, Michael.
Yep. Yes.
And I would like to thank Remnant 96. Were you born in 96? Maybe.
No, another Maybe. Android for the Android squad.
Yes. Also,
thank you, Remnant.
Great Android
Androids.
Name.
Android's
I was going to say, Remnant 96 sounds like you're an android survivor on like a post-apocalyptic starfinder planet or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. You're the sole survivor of something, and so you started calling yourself Remnant, and then
I'm the
96th
incarnation of the sole android left on this entire planet,
yeah.
Just wandering around like that that Star Trek episode with the two people fighting each other for all of time.
I would like to thank K25FF. I have no idea if that's another way to pronounce that, but that's what we're doing.
Well, thank you, K25FF.
Yeah, K25FF. Yeah.
We got another Android. All right. And I would like to thank Patrick Dickens.
Well, thank you, Mr.
Dickens. Appreciate it, Patrick.
We appreciate it, Patrick.
Mr. Dickens. All right. And I would like to go ahead and thank Gregory Hansen. We appreciate your support, Gregory.
Well, thank you, Gregory.
Thank you, Gregory.
Thank you, Gregory.
Such distinguished names this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Androids and 19th century
authors.
Yeah.
Or 18th century authors, depending.
Kim Robbins sounds like a good author name.
Yep.
That's a bestseller.
But yes, thank
right
you
there.
All. And we do want to, of course, also extend a thank you to our Find the Path tier patrons. And this includes English Bob, Andrew Miller, Braden Worrell, Kat Vetter, Colin Bill, Dean Gauntz, Dustin Roberts, Eric and Lisa Junker, Eric Mole, Gary S., Ian Date, Jessica Vetterly, Jim C., John Koo, Joshua Saldana, Justin M., Lewis Ellis, Matthew K. Linsickham, Robert Beach, Sandy, who we just had a really good after party with. So thank you so much for joining us on that,
thank you, Sandy.
Yeah.
Siren Roll, TJ Khan, and Travis. Thank you all
thank you,
so
everybody.
Much for continuing to support us. Thank you to all of our patrons, and please check back in next time. Sorry to make you all wait for the thrilling conclusion. And hopefully happy reunion.
Yeah,
of,
let's hope so.
Of this
Otherwise,
missing child
really
and her, her loving mommies. So check
we
back in next
back.
Time. And until next time, good luck, Pathfinders.
Good luck out there.
Keep an eye on your children.
Yeah. We have to. I mean, I'm okay if we have to kill the creepy demon deer.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I'm just sad I don't have some divination spell that would help in this situation.
I was looking at my spells too, and I got nothing to help in this situation. I have light for when it gets dark.
Or just heavy training in survival.
Yeah, or like, yeah, good training in survival would also be great.
Find the Path Ventures is an officially licensed partner of Paizo Incorporated. War for the Crown is copyright 2018. War for the Crown and the Pathfinder Venture Path are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.